Hello, hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Success Beyond podcast. Today, I am really excited to introduce you to Amanda Reed. She is a modern calligrapher, workshop instructor, and doctor of physical therapy. She is the owner of Amanda Reed Designs, a modern calligraphy studio based in Austin, Texas. She specializes in providing live event calligraphy and engraving services for luxury events and brands. Amanda also shares her passion for calligraphy with others by teaching workshops, online courses, and helping aspire other calligraphy business owners learn more about the industry. She is also the founder of Calligraphers of Color, an inclusive online community that provides resources for and highlights minority calligraphers and their businesses. Join us as we chat with Amanda about her business, her story, and all of those fun things. Welcome to the Success Beyond podcast. In this podcast, we embark on a journey of discovery and growth through candid and dynamic conversations with seasoned professionals in the creative industry. Our mission's clear: to provide you with the knowledge, tools, and inspiration you need to thrive in your creative endeavors. Whether you're an artist, designer, writer, or some other type of entrepreneur, Success Beyond is here to educate, empower, and inspire you every step of the way. Join us as we unlock your full potential and elevate your creative journey with insights and strategies shared in each episode. Welcome to a world where success knows no bounds. Welcome to Success Beyond. All right, y'all. So thank you, Amanda, for joining on this episode. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. My name is Amanda. I am the owner of Amanda Reed Designs. I do live event calligraphy for corporate events, retail stores, things like that. Outside of that, I'm also a physical therapist. So I treat patients in the clinic, and I kind of combine my two passions by just talking about like self-care and wellness for creatives. And sometimes calligraphers more specifically, just because that's what I do. It's close to my heart, but yeah, that's a little bit about me.
I love it. And you're a doctor of physical therapy. Yes. Don't sell yourself short. Okay. You're not just a physical therapist.
I am a doctor of physical therapy. Yes. I worked hard for that degree.
I bet. I have the student loans and no degree. So oh my gosh. I know.
The student loans are still there for me too, girl. Yeah. I'm working them off.
Oh, awesome. Tell me how you got started in calligraphy of all things.
Yeah. So I actually learned calligraphy when I was in physical therapy school, because as you can imagine, it is very stressful. So I wanted like a creative outlet. So a friend of mine told me about calligraphy. I had never really heard of it. So I took a workshop and fell in love immediately. So I just kept taking more and more classes like in my spare time. And then after I graduated, I started working full-time as a physical therapist, but the clinic I was at was extremely stressful. I was doing a residency program, seeing a high volume of patients, taking my work home every night, and I didn't really have time to create or do things that made me happy. And it was also affecting like my mental health, my physical health. I was having like panic attacks on the way to work. Aww. So I quit that job in 6 months.
I left. For you.
And then after that, I just worked part-time for a different clinic. And then I started doing calligraphy again and sharing my work online. And then people just kind of asked, can you do calligraphy for my wedding? Can you make a sign for my house? Do you teach classes? And I just kept saying yes to things and then made it a business. And that's how we got to where we are now, doing a little bit of both.
I love it. So you've been in business for how long now?
Since 2019, January of 2019. Yeah.
Awesome. I love it. I love that. I mean, it's something that I feel like in the entrepreneurial space, we talk about a lot, where like you leave the job that you couldn't stand to start the business. And I love that you had like the courage and the opportunity to do that, because it takes, even in a job that we can't stand, it takes a lot to do that leap. Even if you like go to part-time work or whatever, like to spend the time and energy to grow a business, start a business, you know, to get out of a bad place.
Yeah.
It's brave.
It is. It's brave. And it's tough, because I also struggled, and I know other people in my industry who feel the same way about this, where it's like, okay, I had my corporate job or my day job, and now I'm doing something completely different that's creative. And you almost have like that identity crisis of like, okay, am I in the healthcare field or am I going to be like this creative entrepreneur? And so I struggled with that for a long time. Maybe like, it wasn't maybe until like 3 years until my coworkers knew that I also did calligraphy. So I just like hid it from them. I had like two different identities.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I have moments where I almost wish I would have stayed in my corporate job a little longer and had the business have it more solid.
Yeah.
But you know, it worked. So
things happen.
It does. So tell me about the live event calligraphy. How does that work? I feel like that would be so much pressure.
Yeah. So I started learning calligraphy in 2015. So I had been practicing for 4 years before I launched my business. And then in 2019, I found these two girls online, Sil and Jody, and they teach this online course called Luxury Lettering 101. And that teaches like how to do live event calligraphy. So live event calligraphy is where a corporate company or like a retail store will hire a professional calligrapher to come on site and customize items live in front of clients and guests and attendees for them to take home as like a keepsake or like a little takeaway gift. So I've done work with Louis Vuitton, Hermès, Anthropologie, Tiffany & Co., Kendra Scott. So lots of different companies are looking for like these fun activations that people can engage with and have something to do at their events, or like for Valentine's Day, for example, coming up, I'll be working with Nordstrom's to engrave calligraphy on perfume bottles because it brings more people in the door and it helps generate sales if they know they can get it customized as a gift. So that's what I do. It's a lot of fun for me, at least.
That is amazing. Like that, I didn't even know that that was a thing. Like that is I get nervous typing in front of somebody. I can't imagine not having a backspace.
I know. Yeah. So that is a thing. Like you have to be confident with your skills. Yeah. For me, I view it almost as like a performance, right? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You can sing in the shower, but until you get on stage, nobody knows like your talent. So usually calligraphers, we are behind the scenes. We're at home in our studio, just working on place cards, envelopes, signage, and nobody sees the behind the scenes work. But doing live event calligraphy really puts you like front and center. And it's like a performance for people to be like wowed and just admire the talent. So it's fun for me.
That's incredible. I'm not going to call it a career. I did singing a bit when I was much, much younger and I decided not to go professional with it. So I can, comparison is definitely something I can relate to.
Yeah.
I love that. So, okay. So you're a doctor is it full-time?
Part-time.
Part-time. Okay. So doctor, part-time, then the calligraphy business I want to call
part-time.
Part-time.
Yeah.
Part-time. And then you also have do you host the calligraphy retreat or are you part of the calligraphy retreat?
I host it. Yeah.
Okay. So you host the calligraphy retreat and calligraphers of color.
Yes.
Like
too much. All the things. I'm just like, I feel like I'm at a point in my career with calligraphy that, like I said, it can be very isolating where you're alone and you feel like you're the only one doing it. So I started Calligraphers of Color in 2019, and it was a selfish thing because I was like, I can't find any other calligraphers that look like me in this industry. Right. And so I remember standing in my, I wasn't freshly married, but I was standing in my apartment kitchen with my husband. I'm like, I'm just going to create a group right now. So I just made an Instagram page and I just like shared things daily. And then we grew to 500 people by the end of the year. And then in 2020, when the whole Black Lives Matter movement was going on, it grew to over 14,000 people who were engaging with the page. So now we have a private Facebook group that's open to anyone, any race, but it's just a way to celebrate diversity and highlight minority calligraphers within the industry and their businesses. So that's calligraphers of color.
I love it. Okay, so now talk to me about the luxury.
The retreat.
Yeah.
So the luxury calligraphy retreat started last year in 2023. I had a vision of hosting a retreat for at least 2 to 3 years, but I never launched it out of fear. I was like, what if nobody wants to come? Where am I going to get the resources for this to like find a space and hire vendors and food? Like, I didn't know how that was going to happen. But I went to an event where this lady just kind of like spoke words of encouragement to me. And she, I don't know how she knew, but she was like, what is it that you are running away from that you feel like you need to be doing? And I was like, ma'am, how?
Dang.
I know. It was like a whole prophecy type thing. But yeah, so that really sparked me to stop holding back.
Yeah.
And I went home that weekend and like planned it all out and then launched it a couple months later. And once the tickets went live, it sold out in 15 minutes. It just to show that there's a need for that in our industry.
Wow.
Community. So it's right now it's geared towards other calligraphers who are in the luxury space, who are
right.
doing live events, because it is still a very new niche. So just a way for us to connect, grow our businesses, grow our skills, and just practice some self-care as well by getting away.
Wow. Just over here doing the most.
Too much. I'm trying to find ways to cut back.
So, I mean, really, you started this as a form of self-care and
yeah.
it's turned into a business. Do you feel that now that it's a business, it feels like now you have to go to work, or is it still very freeing, creative for you at this point?
Yeah, that's a great question, because it has gotten, I would say 2020 and 2021 is when I started feeling burnt out, where it felt like a lot. Because a lot of my growth happened in those years. And I was kind of saying yes to things. I didn't really have a lot of structure. I was unorganized behind the scenes and just doing everything manually. So it was a lot. And I want to say 2022 and 2023 were the years that I scaled back a little
right.
bit by being a little bit more choosy of who I said yes to as far as clients. Because I can't do it all. You can't do it all as one person. I stopped doing weddings and only worked with corporate clients exclusively. And that gave me a little bit more free time. And I started talking a little bit more about calligraphy as a form of self-care and taking it back for me as a creative practice to like just kind of enjoy it more than just working all the time. So
yeah. I love that. That's one thing that I feel like I don't want to say struggle with, but I love to write. So I started working on my first book over the last couple of years, but last year was like the first year I dedicated like a day and time to it every week.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, like, it's been so fun, but I don't know if I want it to be like a job,
right.
you know, because yes. I don't want to take away from it being fun.
Yes. Yeah.
So I completely understand. And the same thing with the singing. And then I have worked horses too. So it was all the same thing. Like I like to have, I think it might've been Akua who said it at the conference keep your hobbies. It was, cause she was like, nobody's going to buy my little pottery mug.
Yes. Yeah. And I asked that question. I was the one that
was
asked
you?
That,
yeah. Oh my
goodness. I asked them, cause I mean, it can be very overwhelming to be an entrepreneur.
Yes.
It's also overwhelming to be an educator in the space
yes.
when you're constantly pouring out. And so with them being where they are on that platform, I was like, how do you guys not get burnt out by always pouring out? Like, how do you, you know, feed yourselves in that way? And I remember Akua's response as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. Like, if you're writing a book, I feel like our society, especially with social media, it is so easy to like feel like you have to monetize everything. Because
right.
the moment you share a passion, everyone's like, oh my gosh, you should sell it. Oh my gosh, I would buy that from
mm-hmm.
you. And it's like,
yep.
this is for me. I don't have to
right.
put this on display or something for people to purchase. Like, it's just for me to enjoy. So it's hard to
Absolutely.
Find that balance, but so important.
It is hard to find the balance. I really resonated with what you said about getting overwhelmed by just everything we have to do as business owners. Like, we're
yeah.
not... like, I feel like you have business owner, but that doesn't encompass like what we do and who we are as we run our businesses, especially for someone like you who also has to balance your part-time doctorate, your doctorate, and your, I know you just launched the second retreat. So congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, so prepping for that too. So what are the ways that you ensure that you are practicing balance and you are practicing self-care?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. One of the ways is, at least what I'm doing right now, is taking social media breaks. Because for me, it's like, I feel like as creatives, we have to make time for rest. Like if we don't have space to just enjoy or be in our own thoughts and find like internal inspiration, it can be really easy to just jump on what everyone else is doing. There's a lot of noise. And so just kind of blocking that out. I'm taking a break for 2 weeks, but I like to encourage people to take at least one day a week where you're just like a little digital detox. Other ways are to have a hobby that don't require you to sell anything. So whether it's writing for you, singing. I love to sing also. I grew up singing in the choir in school all the way through college. What else? I also like to encourage people just to move, like go for a walk. That's so much research on how that helps with your mental health, physical health, all the things. So those are just a couple practical tips to not feel overwhelmed sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. You said something, and I probably should have done what you did, is take a pen and paper.
Write it down.
Yes. I'm so bad at that. We'll see if I come back to it. Okay. So this is actually not something I've asked on the podcast before, except for maybe when I did a couple's interview a couple years ago. So how do you balance, like you have your business and then you have your work. How do you balance also making time, like you said, for yourself, but then your partner too? Like, how do you make sure that you guys are going out on dates or you're staying connected? Cause that's one thing that, especially in the early days of my business, my husband and I were like two ships passing in the night.
Yes.
Yeah. We had a 2-month-old baby. I was starting this business. I was working full time. He was working full time and had a side business. So like making time for us became a priority when we saw like, oh, this isn't working real well.
Yeah.
How do you mitigate that?
Yeah. So my husband and I have gone through, at least I felt like I kind of went through a season, not resentful, but like you said, we're just like passing each other. It almost felt like we were roommates.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like, I mean, we're partners. Obviously married, but yeah. So he, right now he's a full-time entrepreneur. He's a luxury wedding videographer. And, but that was as of last year. Prior to that, he was working a day job. And then also doing his wedding video business and then me working part-time and then having my calligraphy business. So we were just all over the place. As far as being intentional, now that he works from home, mostly I do see him a lot more and it's been really cool. But something that we would try to do is you have to put it in the calendar of either trips that we're going to go on, like plan it in advance, or like either a weekly or a bi-weekly, every other week type of date where either we're watching a show together and we eat dinner together, or we're going out somewhere, or we plan a little staycation. We love staycations. We're based in Austin, Texas. So there's a ton of cool hotels locally where, you know, whether it's for our anniversary, a birthday, or we just need to reconnect. We'll just book a hotel downtown somewhere and just stay someplace cool and hang out and just kind of regroup. So that's some of the strategies that we would put into practice where if we felt like we were kind of distant, it's like, okay, let's do a little staycation. Let's plan a date and put it in the calendar. Cause if it's not in that calendar, it's not going to happen.
Yep. I completely understand that. I wish my husband used a calendar. He refuses. So it has to go in my calendar and then I just tell him when to show up.
Yeah. Well, we use like, so we both have iPhones. So we'll do like the shared, like iPhone calendar thing. And so at least we both see it and then you set an alarm or something like that.
I love it. I love that the staycation too. That's something that we do fairly often, especially this is such like a nerd horse girl thing for me. Like during the fall, like before, obviously before winter. So we take normally like a couple of days off together mm-hmm. and it's like our winter prep week. Mm-hmm. And I love it. We do like a big dump run. We go get lots of hay. We get firewood. And I'm just like, it's my favorite time. It's like Christmas to me.
It sounds people, awesome.
Like when I say that to most people, they're like,
what?
Like, what do you mean? They're like, you're just running errands. I'm like, they're fun errands.
Yeah. It's like a life-giving activity for you. Yes. So it feels good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To know like the horses and the home will be taken care of or ready for winter. Like, yeah. It's just a weight off my shoulders and it's, you know, time spent with him. So it's fun.
I love it. I love it.
Are you ready to run your business rather than your business running you? Then you need HoneyBook. Streamline your processes, get paid even if you're not at your desk, have your form sent out without having to click a button, and get the information you need to provide your clients with an exceptional experience. I've been using HoneyBook for over 6 years in various businesses and recently switched my business completely over to HoneyBook from another CRM. And I could not be happier with the switch, with the team, and the various tools that are now at my fingertips. If this is a system that you want to look at, then I would love to offer you 50% off of your first year if you head to the link in our show notes. Thank you so much. And I hope you love HoneyBook as much as I do. So, okay, what are some other ways that, that was the question I had earlier. When you take a social media break, are you, I know like you're obviously like not posting on stories and that sort of thing. Are you still scrolling? Are you still going on and kind of seeing what's up? Or are you like deleting the apps and taking like that much of a break?
Whenever I take a social media break, I delete the app. I delete it off my phone and my iPad. So that I don't have access to it on my phone, because usually it's more of like just freeing up brain space where I feel like I'm too clouded. I'm looking too much at what others are doing, mindless scrolling. It wastes my time and I don't have enough creative energy because it's so much thought fatigue. So I delete the app off my phone because that prevents me from just mindless scrolling at random hours of the day. I still have it on my desktop. And I only allow myself to check like DMs because sometimes clients will message me through there and I don't want to miss that. So, if it's just like friends messaging me or like family, I don't respond to those messages, only like clients that are reaching out through there. Sometimes I will do a little quick scroll, but it's not as easy to scroll and engage on desktop. Like it is on the app. So like if you're looking at someone's stories, you can't interact with like the little buttons that they have or like do the ask me anything questions. So it's not as engaging. So I don't stay on very long. I just mostly get on to check. Yeah, that's what I do for my social media break. The other thought that I was going to bring up was I like to do it for 2 weeks. If I'm doing like a digital detox, 2 weeks is like my minimum. And that's because it's like the first couple of days, I find myself trying to replace that time that I was scrolling, like those dopamine hits that you get. I'm trying to find like something else to like replace. I'm like, okay. I'm not on TikTok that much. So I don't have that on my phone. I also try to be off YouTube as well. Because you can watch the shorts and it's the same thing. You're just like scrolling and so I'm just trying to get away from that habit, period. So I delete all those things. But yeah, so the first couple of days, it's like trying to replace like those habits of always picking up my phone. I find myself that I'm like checking my messages or like my emails instead, like trying to find something.
Right.
And then like maybe by like day 3 or 4, I'm not picking up my phone as often as I used to. Like my screen time has gone down by the hours.
Right.
Like it's like by the end of week one, going into week two, kind of where I'm at now, where I'm just like content with like finding other activities to fill my time. So I was practicing calligraphy just for fun, or I'll watch a show with my husband, or I went on a 20-minute walk today with my dog. And it's just like, being present in real life, I feel more inspired. and just kind of like free and light, because I don't have that weight of my brain being so clouded by all the decisions, the micro decisions that you're making when you're watching a video. What should I do with this information that I just received? Should I watch it? Should I go to the next one? Do I share it? Who do I share it with? What do I comment? Like, all of those are little micro decisions that lead to brain fatigue, that impede our productivity for our business and time that we could be serving our clients or doing some type of back end work in our business, and instead of being on our phone. So that's why I like to do it every once in a while, at least once a quarter.
I wish I could, like, yeah, y'all can hear that, right? Snap. Yeah. I had never done a digital detox like that. And that's so fascinating about the micro decisions, because I'm someone who, especially if I'm like at a high anxiety level, or, you know, that's typically when I get triggered the most, is for whatever reason it is, like, I'm at high anxiety. Decision fatigue becomes like the bane of my existence. Like, I will cry at that point if my husband asks me what I'm going to make for dinner.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that is fat. I never even considered like the mindless scrolling. Like, that's still micro decisions.
It is. It is. Yeah. And I was at that point of tears not too long ago, because I was like, I have so many things on my plate. I'm doing this. I'm doing the retreat. I just got back from this amazing conference, and now I need to make funnels for my newsletter.
Right. Right.
And so I was like, okay, Amanda, whenever you feel like you are overloaded with so much to do, you need to make time for stillness. And so the easiest thing that distracts me from like my purpose and what I should or could be doing is social media. So it was time to do that. So yeah, once a quarter, I recommend everyone just like taking a break from social media, just get in tune with yourself and kind of let go of all those things so you can clear up your brain and give yourself time back, but also mental space and energy back.
I'm blown away by, I had a client who, she does a digital detox for 2 weeks, typically in December. And there's times where she'll take all of December off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I always knew that. And then I would like help her implement it, you know, and she didn't explain. I don't think she probably even recognized that that was one of the reasons why she did it, because she has y'all can hear her story on the podcast. It's Jody Brim. And she has a ton on her plate all the time. And I'm sure that's, I don't know that she would recognize it. I'm going to have to text her after this and be like, hey, did you realize that when you do your digital detox, it's taking away like 100,000 micro decisions today? And that's probably one of the reasons why you do it at the end of the year when you're burnt out.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So I love that. I love the quote. And that's what I was writing down on my phone a second ago, is you said to make time for stillness. And I think that's something, like, even take the digital detox out of the equation. That's something that our culture knows nothing about.
Right. Yeah. I was listening to a podcast earlier today while I was on my walk, and a quote that I don't even remember who it was, but she said, she was talking about white space. It was either white space or white noise, but pretty much like when your brain is overloaded, like, you have to give yourself time to think. But a quote that she said was, when creative or high performing people don't have time to think, your life and your business inevitably suffer. And that kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was like, well, I'm glad I'm doing this social media break right now, because that's how I felt 2 weeks ago. But yeah, I think it's so important that we give ourselves time for rest, time to just like take a break, because our brains need it. We weren't designed to be like on our phones all the time. And some people struggle with the idea, and I forced my husband to do this social media break with me, because I didn't want to be on the break and then see him scrolling and stuff. So I feel like the struggle that a lot of creative entrepreneurs have when deciding to take a break is, I'm going to become irrelevant. I'm going to lose followers. I'm going to lose engagement. And it takes time to build that back up. First of all, it will come back once you start posting again. So don't even worry about that. They will be there. The people who are there for you will be there. But number two is if you're worried about like your engagement going down, you can use these platforms that allow you to schedule your content. So prepare ahead of time. You can either inform your audience, hey guys, I'm going to be taking a break for some mental clarity and to just strategize, blah, blah, blah. You can find me in my newsletter for updates or whatever else. And then or if you don't want to announce it, you just want to go go off and, you know, do your own thing, then just schedule some posts in like, you know, a couple days a week that are just photos. You can use Planoly or like the Plan app. There's tons of apps that you can schedule your stuff, but that's another way you can stay engaged without actually being present so that you don't have to worry about losing engagement or followers and stuff like that.
So, and that was going to be my next question. Is that something that you do, or like you plan your content out ahead of time, or you like just kind of go off for those 2 weeks?
Yeah. Sometimes I will schedule it, especially if I have like a launch or an event or something coming up, then I'll make sure I schedule it. This time I didn't. It was kind of like, I have been needing to do this and I'll come back when I come back. I also find sometimes like by the end of my digital detox, sometimes I don't want to get back on social media because just the way, like how light I feel and how like clear my mind feels, I'm like, I really don't need it. Because most of my clients, at least in my space for what I do, most of my clients find me through Google, the SEO on my website. Okay. That's how they find me. Because on my contact form, I have like a little note that says, or a little box that says, how did you find Amanda Reed Designs? And they can select Google, Instagram, word of mouth, blah, blah, blah. And 90% of my clients find me through Google. And so sometimes I'm like, well, maybe I don't need social media.
Right.
And I think about like even before Instagram was huge for businesses, how people got clients then, you know, now it's like, it's pretty vital to be engaged with your audience that way. Yeah. But yeah, sometimes I find like after the break, I don't even want to get back on.
I could see that being the case. Well, you've got me convinced because I am definitely in a place of mental cloudiness would probably be a good way to describe it. So I think that's going to be my goal this week is to get my content planned for the next 2 weeks and then take 2 weeks off, which is terrifying because I've never taken a break from social media. Well,
you should do it.
I've done it once, but I feel like it shouldn't count because I was going through a divorce. So like, you know, I had to get out of there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, for a minute. I think I lasted a week.
Yeah.
You know? So, well, you've convinced me. So I'm definitely.
I highly recommend it. Yeah. And if 2 weeks is a lot, just, you can start small, just do a week or a couple days or just one day. But yeah, I try to do Sundays is like my Sabbath day where I just rest and don't do any business work. And those will be the days that I'm not on social media, you know, very much anyways. But if you want to take an intentional break, I recommend at least 2 weeks and stick to it and commit. Delete the app completely off your phone. Don't just log out and don't get on it on the, because you can sign in on the internet on your phone.
Oh, yeah.
So don't cheat. Just be off the phone, be off social media and detox and save your mental energy.
I love that. Okay. Well, thank you so much for just all of the incredible insight and nuggets. I mean, I'm leaving absolutely inspired. And I think it's incredible. I can't imagine the level of like perseverance and dedication it took to get a doctorate, but then to also do your business and then to even take that further and create such an incredible space that speaks and loves diversity for all calligraphy businesses and creative business owners. Like, I hope, you know, like you are an inspiration and like, it's incredible what you have built. And when I met you, I could just feel how like genuine and authentic you were in person. And you had such beautiful energy.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm so grateful to have met you. And I think what you are doing is is really, really incredible. And I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that with us.
Wow, that means a lot. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Thank you for taking the time to hang out and
of course, you know,
share your inspiration with the audience. Is there anything you would like to say before we hop off? Where can we hang out with you? When is your next retreat? I think this one's already sold out, right?
It's not sold out yet. We have a few spots left. Yeah. So if any calligraphy industry people are listening, there are still a few spots left. Maybe by the time you hear this. but the next retreat is in May of 2024, towards the end of May. I am most active on Instagram, despite me taking a break right now. I'll be back later so you can see what I'm up to there. I also have a new YouTube channel where I am trying to be intentional about sharing all this knowledge I have in my brain about self-care and wellness for not just calligraphers, but creatives in general. So if you want to find me on YouTube, I am there at Amanda Reed Designs.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And y'all go check her out and we will catch you next week. Well, that is all we have for this week. I am so grateful that you tuned in to this episode. If you enjoyed this episode or previous episodes, I would love if you took a moment to subscribe or leave a review for our channel. That would mean the world to me. And you can always hang out with us over at the gram at successbeyond.co. Thanks, and we'll see you there.